Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and call us, 208-991-4783. Well, today's episode is brought to you by the financial support of our listeners. Thanks so much for all your support. And now it's time for us to get into today's episode. This one is The Adventure of the Violent Virtuoso.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins. The war changed many things, the face of the earth and the people on it. Before the war, Frank Race worked as an attorney. But he traded his law books for the cloak and dagger of the OSS. And when it was over, his former life was over too. Adventure had become his business. The Adventures of Frank Race. And now we join Frank Race for The Adventure of the Violent Virtuoso.
It was one of those evenings where sooner or later you know you're going to end up on the fire escape. It'd been hot all day, and it was still hot. And the weatherman had just informed the city by radio that there'd be more of the same tomorrow. Unfortunately, when a weatherman forecasts heat, he's always right. So I was reclining, trying to divert myself with a five-star final, when Mark Donovan came in with a proposition.
Hey, look. What do you say we go out and do the town?
Eh? Oh, go away. You've just had a shower and it's gone to your head.
No. I mean it. Look, let's go out and get ourselves a couple of warm-hearted females.
Huh? Mark, I regret having to break it to you, but at this moment, anything that can be described as warm seems utterly distasteful to me.
Ah, you'll forget all about the weather.
Yeah, look, you go. I have one or two phone calls I'm waiting for. Answer the door, will you?
Yeah, this ain't the kind of night for staying in.
He kept it up all the way to the door, and I felt the argument to be resumed as soon as he came back. But I was wrong. He reappeared wearing a grin that was almost a leer.
Yeah. Now I see why you wanted to stay home. I also see why you wanted to get rid of me.
What are you talking about?
It's the dame, the one you're expecting. Brother, if anything is cool in this town tonight, it is her. But she ain't going to help your temperature any.
You trying to tell me there's a woman out there?
There is, brother. And she'll make you take a long drag on that cigarette this morning.
He was right. And I did. She was tall and slim, blonde. Her eyes and mouth had a go chase yourself look that suggested money and lots of it.
I'm Sybil Thorne.
Thorne?
Mr. Latham of Intercontinental Underwriters says that he called you about it.
Yes, he called. He mentioned something about a stolen ring. He said he wouldn't be contacting me until tomorrow.
I got restless. You mind?
You know, I don't mind. I don't mind at all.
Could I have a cigarette? I finished the last of mine coming over here.
What would you like?
Oh, I'll take the kind you're smoking. And I'll take a drink, too, if you have the ingredients.
We have the ingredients. Hey, Mark, 10 bar, will you? What's your preference in this?
Heaven surprise me.
You hear that, Mark?
I did. Three surprises coming up.
Latham didn't say much about the ring. Did you lose it?
It was stolen from me.
Valuable, I suppose.
Oh, I paid $7,500 for it. But I don't want to collect the insurance on it. I want the ring back.
How about the police?
I'd rather not have the police in on it yet. You see, it was stolen from me by a friend.
That makes a lovely picture.
Will you take the case? Chalmers Latham said you would.
I guess so, Duchess. Who's the friend?
You ever hear of an actress by the name of Carol Corson?
Yes, I've heard of her. Better than that, I know him. You're not trying to say that Carol Corson's a thief.
I'm not trying to say it, Race. I am saying it.
On second thought, I don't think I'd do you any good on this case, Duchess.
You've already taken the case, Rose. I wouldn't like it if you turned me down now.
Here you are. Two tall ones guaranteed to cool your temperatures down to zero. In fact, they might even embalm you.
Thank you, Mom. Race,
Yes, nothing.
You will take the case, won't you?
Yes, I'll take it. But before we get through, you might not like me. Carol Corson could be seen at the Majestic, where she was doing a well-received skit in a popular review. She was an old friend, and for good reason. Carol and I had once gone around for several weeks thinking of little else but each other. At the Majestic, I found her in her dressing room.
Raise, darling! Talk about ghosts out of the past!
Still the same color hair, still the same figure. You're wearing well, baby?
You big stiff. You know, I never quite got over you.
Well, I've heard different. How about Ernie Jeddo? Now I understand as Lord Landry.
Well, you can't blame me for Landry, Race. He might even make me forget you. Oh, when he plays that violin.
I'm not blaming you, baby. But Ernie Jeddo could be bad news to an affair.
Now,
like
don't say it, Race. Just the thought scares me silly. Oh, look, lover, I've got to go on.
All right, but I must talk to you. And soon. You're being accused of thievery.
Being what?
You know Sybil Thorne?
Well, sure, I went to a brawl at her place last night.
Well, Sybil has lost a ring worth $7,500. You've been tabbed as number one suspect.
What?
The ring was insured with Intercontinental, so I'm on the case.
And I... Oh, but Race, this is silly.
I'm sure it is, baby.
Oh, listen, lover, I do have to skip. I'll get in touch with you, huh? Where are you staying?
At the Carlisle.
All right, I'll see. I've got to zoom.
Could have waited for her, but it was late, and I felt tired. I got as far as the stage door when...
Hold it, pal. I want to have a talk with you.
Ernie Jeddo. I heard him use that same tone against the district attorney while on trial for murder. Ernie Jeddo, unconvicted killer. A second man stirred nearby, and I recognized Duke Temple, another chunk of dry ice.
You're Frank Race, ain't you?
That's right.
Me? I'm Ernie Jeddo.
Yeah, I know. I remember your sidekick, too. How are you, Duke?
I'm all right.
Well, what were you doing inside, Race?
You talking to a friend of yours?
Harold Corson?
Yeah, I had some business to discuss.
Yeah, now I'd like you to hear my story. You know how I feel about Carol, don't you, Ray?
I've heard rumors.
I've been hearing rumors, too. But some guy trying to cut me out. You had a yen for Carol a few years ago, didn't you, Ray?
That I can't deny, gentlemen.
Now I find you hanging around here. Could add up, couldn't it?
But it doesn't.
How do I know?
Just have to take my word for it.
I don't take nobody's word for nothing.
All right. And where do we go from there?
First, I'm going to tell you something. Stay away from Carol Corson. And just so you don't get absent-minded, Duke is going to tie a little string around your finger.
If Duke has any idea about using those brass knuckles, you better change his mind, General.
Bothers you, doesn't it? Go ahead, Duke.
I wouldn't try it, Duke.
Me? I'm waiting for Ernie. Here, bite on this.
Sorry, Duke. I never cared for brass knucks. Don't make any more plays, Jeddo. This Luger can spit lead faster than Duke lost his teeth. Better not, Duke.
Tough guy, ain't you? Packing a rod. Makes you feel good, don't it, packing a rod? Let him ride, Duke. We can catch up with him. Later.
For the next couple of days, the case showed about as much activity as a Philadelphia weekend. Heard nothing from either of the two women involved. Then on the morning of the third day, I got a call from Sybil Thorne.
How would you like to take me to a concert tonight?
Well, you sound gay. Did you get your ring back?
I did not.
I thought you might be dropping the affair.
I am not. And I want you to keep on with it. Have you done anything?
Stirred up a case of physical violence for myself, but nothing else. I'm going to be of any value to you, Duchess. I'll need to know more about this business.
So, we should get together. How about the concert idea? You like violinists?
Well, like anything's good.
Oh, Lawrence Landry's great. New and brilliant and...
Landry? Is it his concert?
Yes. You might pick me up about 8.
And that evening, just as I was ready to leave, Mark Donovan came in, so I commandeered his services as a driver.
Look,
This the dame that was here the other night?
The same. Where's your cab?
Halfway down the block. So you're going to a concert, huh? Yeah. I don't know if any woman is worth that, Rick.
Look, I like classical music.
Yeah, I guess even a guy like you has to have a flaw in his character somewhere.
Thanks.
Hold it, Grace.
What is it?
Down! Grace.
I didn't get up. He's gone.
Oh, I thought he got you. I didn't want to look.
Well, nothing wrong with me. A good brushing off won't cure. What was that boy? Did you get a good look at him?
Yeah, right between them two Buicks. It was short, chunky, dark complexion.
Yeah, Duke Temple. Tough trader.
Trader?
He seemed to want my life because I relieved him of some front teeth. Come on, Mark. Let's head for Sybil Thorne before we have to start explaining to the police. Lawrence Landry put on a good show. Young American, he had the looks to catch himself a feminine audience wherever he went. But he was no great violinist. Teresa Vane, his accompanist, was a far better musician. As a solo number, she keyed out a rendition of the Appassionata that saved the evening for me. Afterward, I went backstage with Sybil Thorne and met both of them.
Oh, Larry, you were marvelous. I enjoyed it ever so much.
I'm glad, Sybil. I thought the audience a little lukewarm.
Oh, no, darling. They were mad about you. Weren't they, Ray?
There's a question about a ring of falsehood and making myself disliked, so I avoided the issue by turning to Teresa Vane with my opinion of her work.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it, Mr. Reed.
Oh, I more than enjoyed it. That job on the Appassionata enthralled me.
It's wonderful of you to say so.
I thought you were great all in.
Mr. Ray, you've made me very happy.
But I haven't made Sybil Thorne happy. Later in the cab, I heard about it.
I don't understand you, Ray. Why did you have to go so completely overboard for that girl's playing? You didn't say a word about Larry.
If I'd praised Landry's work, I'd have been a hypocrite. He's far from being a first-line violinist.
You're insane. Well, he's marvelous.
Have a cigarette, Duchess. Listen while I tell you something. You're infatuated with Landry. It makes you blind and deaf. Made you hate Carol Corson, too.
You are insane.
I was able to put the picture all together tonight. Landry goes for Carol, so you detest the girl. Which casts quite a doubt on your loss of that ring.
Are you accusing me of lying?
I'm accusing you of a more horrible malady. Jealousy. And I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to write this case off. It's finished. For your sake, Duchess. For your sake. After leaving Sybil Thorne, man, there was no goodnight kiss involved in our parting. I found a phone booth and called Carol Corson.
Hello?
Carol, this is Frank Race.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
It's Race, Carol.
Who? Oh, Ray. We have a very bad connection, lover.
Well, then maybe I'd better stop in and talk to you. You still up?
Up, did you say? Of course, lover. I'll be up for hours yet. Where are you?
I'm practically around the corner. It's all right then, huh?
Oh, wait a minute, Ray.
What is it, Carol?
Someone just came into the apartment. Oh, it's you. What are you doing with that gun?
Who is it, Carol?
Wait. Don't do that. No! No!
We'll return to the adventures of Frank Race in just about 1 minute. And now, back to the adventures of Frank Race.
Through the few scrambled, hurried minutes that it took Mark Donovan and me to reach the door to Carol Corson's apartment, I developed a sense of guilt. I'd been too willing to write off this affair as a bit of unimportant jealousy. I'd been wrong. The exchange I'd listened to over the telephone had sounded convincingly like murder. Mark and I found the apartment door ajar. Another somber note. We went inside.
Used to go with this girl, didn't you?
Yes. Yes, I used to go with her.
Through the chest. Won't do no good to send for a doctor.
No. Won't do a bit of good.
Well, what are you going to do?
The only thing I can, Mark. Call the police. Started out hot again the next morning. I felt dull-witted and lethargic. About as useful as a barkeeper at a revival. It was just after 11 o'clock when I got the phone call.
Ray?
That's right.
Honey, Jim.
Hello, Joe.
I've been reading about Carol, about how you found
him. I guess it was all there. I haven't seen the paper.
I told you how I felt about that kid, Grace.
I know, Jim. Tough.
Plenty tough. Too much for a guy like me to take lying down. That's where I thought about you, Ray.
I wish I could tell you something. Can't.
Tell me nothing. Get it all figured myself. Guess what I come up with?
I'm not very bright this morning, Jeno.
I come up with you. Frank Race. A private pry with a big reputation. A big guy that's in with the cops. A guy that can get away with murder.
Look, Jeno. I'm as sorry about Carol as you are. Maybe sorrier. I had nothing to do with her death.
Carol was a good kid. Might be a little crazy, but a good kid. He was doing all right, Carol and me. You show up
again. Jeno, you're wrong.
Got an unlisted phone, ain't you, Rick? I latched on to the number, didn't I? I know where you stay, too. Carlisle. Now I want you to know something. I'm gonna get you. I'm putting my mind on that and nothing else. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, in the next couple of 3 days. But I'm gonna get you. Right.
What's the matter, Russ? Somebody hang up on
me? Yeah, Mark. Somebody hung up on me.
Mr. Race.
Hello, Miss Vane. Forgive me for interrupting you, but I'm anxious to find Landry, and I haven't been able to locate him anywhere.
Well, not even at his hotel?
And that's it. I don't even know where he's staying.
The Commodore, 2205.
Oh, thanks a lot. Readying something for the concert?
Yes, one of my solos. Beethoven's 12th, you know it, of course. We're here again next week. I hope you can hear it.
I hope I can, too.
Yes?
You may not remember me, Landry. I'm Frank Race. Met you the other night at the hall.
Oh, yes. Come in.
Hope I'm not disturbing you.
Not if you don't mind my going on with this workout. I never miss a day.
Barbells. And the postgraduate weights, too. From the look of them.
Yeah, I guess I do all right. I should. I've been at it for years.
I came to see you about Carol Corson's death.
You what?
I'm an insurance investigator, and it's become rather important to me that this crime doesn't go unsolved.
Crime?
Haven't you read the papers?
Good heavens, no. I just got up.
Well, I hate to have to give it to you this bluntly, but Carol Corson was murdered last night in her apartment.
Carol Corson? Murdered?
That's it, Leonard.
Race. Excuse me a few minutes while I get into some other clothes. There'll probably be reporters coming.
He took more time than just a few minutes. So much more that I began poking around the room for diversion. There was nothing to look at in the way of reading matter except a stack of programs he'd played across the country. It proved to be a very interesting measure of his skill. He had a limited repertoire. He offered nothing very demanding in the way of technique. So his vain share of the program seemed equally light. An addiction to sweetness and gaiety.
Oh, you still here, Race? Thought you might have given me up.
He was wearing a fresh carnation buttonhole of a double-breasted job that did not very strong physique. Here was a boy ready not only for reporters, but photographers as well.
What was it you wanted to discuss about Carol?
Well, she was carrying a torch for him. I had the feeling it might have been mutual. I may have been wrong.
Why, I liked Carol, of course, but there was really nothing too serious between us.
How about you and Sybil Thorne?
I'm very fond of Sybil.
Would you mind telling me if you were with Carol Corson last night?
Luckily, I wasn't. Not last night.
Did you prove it?
Proving it might be a bit awkward.
It might be a lot more awkward if you can.
What do you mean?
We were talking about a murder. Murders have a way of getting downright nasty with reputation.
You mean I could get bad publicity out of this?
It's hard to say which way it'll twist.
But no one's been to see me yet, and it's mid-afternoon. Maybe the police won't know about
won't know about your connection with Carol? They'll know.
Because you'll tell them. Is that it?
I won't go out of my way to tell them, but I may have to.
You're trying to make something out of nothing. I know a lot of women. I happen to be popular with them.
Yes, you sort of work at it, don't you?
I work at other things, too. I'll demonstrate one of them.
He took me suddenly into surprise, moved in, gripped my arm, lifted, jammed me against the wall.
There, Race. Completely helpless, aren't you? And I can step back and...
There. I'll do that a few more times. I'll have a new opening into the adjoining room.
Wouldn't do you any good either, would it?
It makes an interesting game, all right. Will you keep it up, or have you expended enough energy?
I just want to make sure you're impressed with the fact that I didn't see Carol Carson last night. Also, that there was nothing serious between us.
So I'm not to say anything to the police?
That's right.
Well, now that I've been properly impressed, would you mind putting me down? The evening papers broke the thing wide open as far as Landry was concerned, without my saying a word. Couldn't help grinning when I saw his picture on the front page. But Ernie Jeddo's likeness was there, too. And looking at that wiped away the smile and left me with a tight little knot in my stomach. Ernie Jeddo had been picked up, but I felt it wouldn't be long before he'd be free. That meant anything but pleasure for yours truly. I wasn't working for anyone else in this case. I was working for myself. Another complication entered the picture about 9 o'clock when Sybil Thorne showed up at the apartment.
I thought we should get together and have a talk.
Sounds like a sensible idea. Come in.
You know, Larry Landry is furious with you, don't you?
You must have just seen him.
I just talked to him by phone. Larry and I have a date tonight after the concert.
You sound quite smug, don't you?
And you don't like it.
In a way, you deserve that, Turkey. But I get the feeling that in a lot of other ways, you could be pretty regular.
Careful, Rose. You're getting out of character.
Why did you come here? Make it a good one, Duchess.
You're still working for me, aren't you?
Well, maybe I'm giving you more credit than you deserve. You came to gloat. Why?
Stop it.
You came to put across the effect of a very cool lady on a warm night. Well, you could. I'm thoroughly affected.
And what am I supposed to do now? Go home?
No. Not yet. Not until... I took her in my arms. Those cool-looking lips had warmth and softness. That slim-looking body had... Duane and I didn't let it go right away. She still kept her hands on my shoulders as I drew back to gaze at her.
Don't get any ideas, Rex. I'm still going to keep that date with Landry.
All right, Duchess. As I said before, maybe you deserve him. I spent the next couple of hours moving restlessly about the apartment. Made myself some coffee, tossed down a scotch and soda, picked up the paper, read the program of Landry's concert. It'd be over by now, and the realization of it was like being poked in the eye. The answer to the whole thing. I grabbed up a jacket, slung it on, and...
Hey, what do you think you're going?
I've just figured out this case, Mark. I've got to move fast to stop another murder.
Now, hold it, will you? You go out on that street and you move right into your own murder. Got a reception committee out there.
The same one as before?
And another guy. Mean looking, face like a badger.
Ernie Jeddo. But I've got to go out, Mark.
All right. This time I want something besides an end wrench. Yeah. There's your Jeddo pal across the street by the lamppost. Got a guy somewhere around.
I'm going out. Cover me.
All right.
I got Jeddo, Race. And the other guy's running.
Come on, Mark. Give me the Sybil Thorns before it's too late. Now you can turn on the light.
Let me go.
I'm sorry.
Let me go.
But you'd better stay. And this is the gun that killed Carol Corson, isn't it, Miss Vane?
I...
Jealousy. Horrible malady, isn't it?
You can't know. You can't know how much I love him. How much I've been hurt.
desk.
Come in, Duchess. Better bring Landry with you.
Teresa, what are you doing here?
Better close the door, Duchess. This isn't a pretty situation. Miss Vane is here, Landry, because she intended to kill Sybil Thorne, the same way she killed Carol Corson.
Killed? Good heavens, Teresa, why?
Because she's in love with you, to the point that it's made her sick.
But, Teresa, I gave you to understand.
You gave her to understand what? That she should just forget you? You know, some people can't pull that off, Landry. They get ill. They're driven to murder.
But what are we going to do about this, Race?
We're going to give this girl all the breaks we can. Teresa. Teresa, will you go and give yourself up?
Yes. Yes, I'll give myself up.
Now, wait a moment. I think we should hold her here for the police. After all...
I'm making this decision. It may give her a break. And she'll keep her promise. Won't you, Teresa?
I'm not going to let you do it that way, Race.
Go ahead, Teresa.
Oh, no, you don't.
More muscles, Landry? All right, try this on your biceps. Go ahead, Teresa. You'll find a cab downstairs. The driver will know where to take you.
All right.
How did you know, Race?
Music. It's all wrapped up with that girl's emotions. I happened to leap through a pile of Landry's past programs. All of Teresa Vane's solos had been Sweetness and Light, Handel and Debussy, that sort of stuff. But last night, before killing Carol Corson, she showed her mood with the Appassionata. Tonight, with you in mind, she featured that funeral movement from Beethoven's 12th Sonata. Just my idea. But I guess it paid off.
It saved my life. I'm terribly grateful, Race.
Are you, Duchess? Maybe we should talk about that at much greater length.
The Adventures of Frank Race, starring Tom Collins with Tony Barrett as Mark Donovan, comes to you from Hollywood. Others heard in tonight's cast were Lillian Baieff, Tom Holland, Michael Ann Barrett, and Wilms Herbert. This series is written and directed by Buckley Angel and Joel Murcott. The music is composed and played by Ivan Dittmars. Be sure to be with us again this time next week for another dramatic chapter in The Adventures of Frank Race. Art Gilmore speaking. This is a Bruce Ells production.
Welcome back. Well, in the end, I guess the title gave away who actually committed the crime. Though I guess there were other possible interpretations, but I think that kind of telegraphed it. Some pretty interesting similes from Race. Not a usual thing. Not quite Pat Novakian, but yes, that is now officially a word or phrase, but still a little bit unusual for Frank Race. Well, we turn now to listener comments and feedback, and we just have one from Stephanie, who says on Facebook, "Love your podcast." Well, thanks so much, Stephanie. I appreciate you listening out there. And that will do it for today. Reminder, you can rate the show on iTunes. Really do appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. And we're over 1,750 friends and love you to be one of them. We'll see you tomorrow with an episode of Call the Police, and then join us back here for The Adventures of Frank Race. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.